Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs around and have awesome customer service from my own experience. Use the coupon code MMOREPORTER at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD on top of the 1TB hard drive that comes with your system. By Audible, hands down, the best audiobook service in the entire universe. Seriously, if you have any sort of commute or just prefer to listen to your books, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOREPORTER and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. If you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by Frid. Hello, Frid.
Hello.
Frid, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Doing pretty well. You're here on the show. That's good.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. So Frid is just another member of the community. When I put out the call a while back to kind of ask you listeners to kind of step up, join me on the show in person much more often, Frid was one of the first to write in. And so I'm really excited to have you here, Frid. Can you just go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself and your experience with Hearthstone?
Sure. I started playing very late in the beta, I guess. That's February, mm-hmm. probably, of last year now.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, David, suggested it to me. So I had never played anything like card games before. I played Diablo 3, so I was familiar with Blizzard. I guess mm-hmm. Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, but the Warcraft 3 series and those. So I knew they put out a quality product. But he knew that I played, you know, Words with Friends. And there's this other game called Carcassonne. It's a board game where you kind of build a board and you score points. Anyway, he said, I think you would like this based on that. And he was right. When I saw how the game worked, you know, it's a beautiful game. Yeah. It's so much fun to play. And I'm analytical. I like to kind of analyze, and I'm pretty decent at math. So it's sort of a great combination.
So is that really what drew you into it when you started playing, was like the math and analytical side of it?
Yeah, like all the strategy that you have, all the decisions you have to make, and how to, because you kind of build the board as you go, and that's similar to like a Words with Friends, which is basically Scrabble, or this Carcassonne game that I'm talking about. And then combined with
I would have never thought about it like that.
Yeah, and combined with the math, because, you know, it's like a puzzle. Every game is going to be different because it's built depending on what people play and how you react to it. So it's kind of interesting. Now, what really made me sink into it is when it came out for the iPad. That was basically when I got completely hooked, because it's, you just pick it up anywhere. And that's where I got really serious into it, which probably was April or maybe May of last year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, man. So, spoilers for the news section ahead, but you've got to be in trouble now that it's out on mobile.
Oh, yeah. I saw that today. I'm like, oh, no, this is bad.
Our lives are over.
Yep. Any little time that we had, it's gone.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. So now I might be getting into reasons why you're happy here. And if so, we'll jump straight to there. But you were telling me recently about a recent success you had in Hearthstone this weekend.
Yeah. When I wrote to you, I was still in the qualifier phase for the Pinnacle 4, which is the tournament that Team Archon, which is Amaz's team, puts out.
Mm-hmm.
I was still, I think I had qualified for phase 2 at that point. But then I made it through that. And I qualified for the real big tournament, the Pinnacle 4. And I actually made it to the grand finals. But I had lost a round earlier, so it was a double elimination. So I beat the finalist guy once, but I had to beat him again because he gets like an extra life because he had not lost. And I ended up dropping the last game and got second place.
Such pain.
But, I mean, it's unbelievable because I'm not a streamer. I wasn't invited. I'm pretty good, but I don't consider myself a professional or anything. But they put out this
qualifier. But you said you beat several pros along the way, right?
Yeah, even during the qualifier, there were some pros. But then also in the actual tournament, Purple Drank and Thais, he's a European player. They're all top players, and I beat them. So I was with incredible company. I had, you know, made good plays and also had good RNG on my side. And I mean, took home the second place on my first like major tournament. So it's a little.
Yeah, that's incredible. So are you planning to do more?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the NVIDIA. There's a series that is an 8-week tournament.
Cool.
We're on week 4. I had played 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks, they had glitches and stuff. I'm not sure if you followed this, but 2 forfeits, so I won those two. And then my first match I played last week, and I got I won that match. So I'm 3-0. We'll see. It's 8 weeks. And then then you advance to the next phase. So we'll see how it all works out.
Dude, that's so cool. And the coolest, like, obviously all of this is awesome, but the coolest thing to me that you told me about was how your deck list is now getting passed around, and it's called, like, Frid's Paladin deck or something, right?
Yeah, so what happened is the night before, or that week before, I was struggling to get Legend, and as I'm sure we'll get into, I have a podcast called Hearth Coach, and I coached somebody, it's basically the premise of the show, playing this aggressive Paladin deck. It's a version of the Shokanin. And I hadn't used it because I'm like, I don't know if this works, but he was getting up to rank 4 with it. So I said, you know what? Nothing is working for me. I'm going to try this. And I got Legend that same in a couple of hours with that deck. So I said, wait a minute. Maybe I should bring this to the tournament. It's going to be unique because it's not on the meta. It's something different. So then when I brought it to the tournament, that's exactly what happened. People were like, wait a minute, there's a Lepernome and a Mukla and a Divine Favor on a Paladin? This is not your typical Paladin. So it did really well because I did not lose a game with it.
Yeah, man, I love that so much because anyone can, obviously there's a ton of skill that pros have, right? But anyone can go up and pull a deck off the internet, right?
Yep.
And then it's how you use it that defines, you know, your skill at that point. But actually being able to come up with just a brand new kind of twist on a deck and a different deck list that nobody is playing in the meta, that is just the coolest thing.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not called like completely original because what is, right? Everybody has made a list at some point.
Yeah.
But having Sea Giant, I took things from here and there to put it together and into something that worked. I mean, I beat Control Warrior. I beat a Freeze Mage, things that are not supposed to be beaten. And it was a lot of fun. But because of the Conquest format, you can't just use that deck because once you win with it, it gets eliminated, you know? So, but the 4 matches that I got to play with it, I won. So it was quite exciting. And I made a whole write-up on it on Reddit, and that was on the front page. People were giving me great commentary on it. And now you can look in Google, Frid Aggro Paladin, and it shows up. So it's I never expected that to happen, actually.
Yeah, that's like got to be a little surreal.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wow. Okay.
All right, very cool. So we'll obviously put up links to that deck list in the show notes so anyone listening can check that out. Also, I think you mentioned the next episode of your show, Hearth Coach, is going to be about this deck, right?
Yeah, we took the original list that we had, and it's gone through several tweaks. But this week, we're going to play the actual one I used at the tournament. So I'm going to be coaching Dan, my co-host, through it. So you guys can check that out. It comes out on Wednesday. So
cool. Yeah, so it'll probably be out around the same time this episode comes out. Definitely go check that out. Because, I mean, it's very rare that you get to hear straight from the person that came up from the deck how to use all the cards and all that sort of stuff. I think that's really cool. So are there any other reasons you're happy this week, or is that your big one?
Well, the other one, it's I had spring break last week from my daughter's school.
Nice.
So we went to Florida, so I was pretty happy about that. You know, come back with a tan and all that stuff.
Nice.
So that was exciting. And then the other happiness was the iPhone, but you already covered that, so...
Yeah, all right. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that too, just so everyone's aware. My reason, I got two reasons to be happy this week, actually, and both of them are related to tabletop games. I'm holding in my hand my very first ever package of like paint for miniatures. Like, so one of my friends got me into War Machine, which is kind of like Warhammer, like a tabletop RPG kind of game. And he gave me four little miniatures that I could paint, which I've never done before. So I bought a pack off Amazon and it just came here. I now have 9 colors to choose from, and I'm going to try painting these things, and they're going to look like just horrible abominations. I'm sure, like, just terrible Frankensteins. But I'm excited because that feels like a side of kind of geek culture that I've just never tried. So I'm excited to give it a try and see if I like it.
So is it like a board game type of thing?
Yeah, it's more like, so you have like the miniatures, right? And the board is basically just whatever you're playing on. So you're playing on like a table, okay, and you set your miniatures up, and then you have to move them, and you use like rulers. Like, they can move 3 inches, and their rocket shot can be shot like 5 inches or something like that. And so you take turns and you move and you have actions. And so it's kind of, yeah, it's like a turn-based strategy game, but you just play it with miniatures on anything. One of my favorite moments with this sort of game, one of my friends in high school played it growing up, and I went over to his house, and his family had a lot of money. So it was a very pristine, clean house. You know, everything was really fancy and everything looked great all the time. But on the middle of their table, there was a fruit bowl with like orcs crawling all over it. It's like, what? And okay, there was like trolls and stuff on the side. And it was, he just decided that they were going to play on their kitchen table. And just the way it is. Sure, there's a fruit bowl in the middle. Well, that's part of the battlefield now. And so those orcs were like scaling the bananas and taking pot shots off. It was so cool. It was a little like D&D, but, you know, much shorter because you don't have to do large campaigns. You just do a battle. But it's just such a interesting, creative idea to me. I instantly got kind of intrigued.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Then the other one, I got two reasons to be happy. This is crazy. The intro on this show is enormous. I played a board game this week that is Betrayal at the House on the Hill. Have you heard of this game, Fred?
I have not.
Okay, I hadn't heard of it either. But apparently, the people I've talked to lately that know board games, because I went and asked them about it, they're like, oh yeah, that's a classic. It's a classic. But it is incredible. It's the very short premise is it's like Clue, where you're exploring a house, but the house changes every time you play it. And you're getting all these omens and like kind of stuff from scary movies, right? And eventually, something happens and the house's haunting begins. And the haunting can be one of 50 different things based on variables, so it's different every time you play. But then one of you becomes the betrayer and works with like the haunting. And so on mine, like a mummy appeared. And then he had to try and marry his long-lost bride. And one of our guys betrayed us. And they had to start helping the mummy. And it was just such a cool game. So I have to just mention it. Recommend it. Check it out. It's on Amazon for like $30. Totally worth it.
Awesome.
All right. So let's talk a little news before we get into what we're actually here to do. Like we mentioned earlier, Hearthstone is now out on mobile. Android and iOS at the same time. What? Mind blown. So cool.
Yeah.
Have you checked it out?
Yeah,
on mobile at all?
I was.
Are you playing it right now, Fred?
I was in a meeting, and I get back and I check like RSS feeds or Reddit, and I see that it's out. So I try to go to download it on the App Store, and I can't find it. You know, I'm looking for Hearthstone, but it's not showing up on the index yet. You know.
Yeah.
But I had it for the iPad, so I went to my purchase history and on the iPhone, and it was there, and I grabbed it immediately, and I'm like, this is taking forever to download. I want to try it. So I tried a game really quick, and you get a free pack for trying it. So it is kind of tiny.
Yeah,
it is tiny, but I think I can get used to it.
Yeah, like there's actually a lot of really good UI choices. It still feels pretty easy to play. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Because I knew Blizzard wouldn't do a bad job, right? Because they do good at pretty much everything they do. But I couldn't picture, like, how could you possibly make this work? But they actually, they made it work. I'm impressed.
Yeah, they do so much polish on their products. It's incredible. So.
Yeah. So like Fred mentioned, you get a free pack for completing a game on it. So definitely do that on Android, iOS. Also, your card collection is the same, your account is the same, so it's not like you have to start over. All that is still tied in, which is awesome. So go check that out. I was able to find it just by searching Hearthstone as late as this afternoon. So by the time you hear this, you should definitely be able to just search for it and find it. The other bit of news is we've had two wings of Blackrock Mountain open up so far. So really fast, Frid, because we wanted to get to the fun deck battle. What are your impressions of it so far?
Well, you know, a lot of people do a lot of criticism about how the boss battles work, and they get into all the mechanics and all that stuff. And to me, that's all fine, but, you know, I'm all about let's just get to the cards and just get over with. So I think they're doing a good job. Like the whole thing with the... There's one that had the wife that you couldn't kill. So,
yeah.
And the other one that had all those eggs, or whatever they were.
Rock things that kept getting killed each turn.
Yeah, and then it would do a lot of damage. So cool stuff. I knew they'd do a good job. But I'm all about, like, give me the cards because I want... I want to play with them. And so far, I have been playing with maybe two of the cards, the Emperor and Quickshot, the Hunter card.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to trying a demon deck that has the Imp Gang boss.
Yeah, that's actually what I've been playing this week. It has been really fun. Man, Imp Gang boss is fun.
Yeah. I'm waiting for all those dragons to come out to see how the dragon deck may work. So we're still a little bit a ways from that. So,
yeah, I'm still not sold on dragon synergy yet, but I hope it can work. So it'll be fun to see.
I think some people are already trying it and having some kind of success. So,
okay, are there technically a couple dragons?
Well, you have Fairy Dragon, you have Azure Drake, you have Twilight Drake. You know?
Okay, yeah. Alexstrasza.
Yeah. Okay. Allegos.
Yeah. Okay.
Ysera.
Interesting.
There's Ysera. So there, you know.
Oh, yeah. See, a lot of those are the legendaries I don't have.
Yeah, me neither. So I don't have Ysera either. So that's I'm afraid that the good deck is going to need all these big things that I don't have.
Yeah.
There's Chromagus and... Nefarian coming, and those are going to be the ones that are probably going to make it into the deck, so we'll just have to see.
And those will be the nice free ones we get from the adventures, which exactly. I'm excited about. Cool. So if you're having trouble with the bosses, Bruggy, who was on the show a few episodes ago, has actually been making YouTube video guides to help players, you know, figure out how to beat the bosses. I think he's tackling the heroics as well, which has been mind-blowingly hard for me to defeat, so I'll be using these guides for sure. And also, next episode, so in 2 weeks, Scott and I are going to kick off our review for all the Blackrock Mountain cards. We're going to do all the neutrals first on one episode, then the next episode will be all the class cards, where we go through and talk about each one, which I'm super excited about. All right, Frid, we did it. 20 minutes later, we made it through the intro. It's time for the deck battle. So that's why you're here this week. Just a reminder, everyone, we do these deck battles about once a month. This is where guest host, Frid in this case, brings on their favorite deck to the show and breaks it down for you. Tells you what cards are in it, how it works, why they like playing it, all that sort of good stuff. Then they put their decks to the test and do battle against me in a best of three series live on the show. We're going to live stream it as well so you can check it out. The twist, of course, is that I always use the current reigning champion deck of the show. That's the last deck a guest host brought onto the show and won with. So right now, the defending champion is one show old, Andrews. Oh, man, I got to get the name wrong. I wrote it wrong in the show. I'm pretty sure it's Andrew. If it's not, I'm sorry. Andrew's Mech Mage deck from last month. Let me look that up, because I don't want to be giving the wrong guy credit here. Oh, it is Dan Andrews. All right, Dan Andrews. I should have just believed my show notes. What a liar I am. So this is his Mech Mage deck from last month that he won. If you want full details on it, go to episode 44. That's when he first showed it out. That's on GameDiplomat.com. And this week, another challenger from the community who you've already met, Frid, has stepped into the ring with his own. It's not your personal favorite deck, right? Because you wanted to bring the Paladin deck on even before you won with it.
Yes.
But I said, enough is enough. We've had 4 out of the 5 last decks on the show have been paladins. We need to do non-paladins.
We need to do something else. These paladins are just too much. Yeah.
Too much. They're too good. Everyone is playing it.
Yeah.
Well, especially now that you're building the meta over there, Fred, there's going to be all sorts of new paladins.
Well, you never know. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the deck right now, but he's also put together a full deck list along with substitute cards you can use if you don't have all the legendaries and stuff. Like, we're missing some of the Isseras and stuff. We know you don't have everything, too. So all the options are in there. He also goes through and explains why he picked every card he did. And, hey, this is a guy that beat the pros, so you wanted his advice. All that's going to be on GameDiplomat.com. Phew, Frid, what's your deck all about?
So what I'm bringing today, I like to call the Mecha Man. So it's a mech shaman, you know? All these mech mages think they have it all figured out, and they're the only class that can have a mech archetype. And shaman's kind of a forgotten class, you know? Because the hero power is kind of weird and random. They don't have healing. They struggle with card draw. There's all these problems. But, you can take the same sort of core mech base that it's used for the mech mage and try to insert it into the shaman and see how that works. So basically, because they got a really good mech that people forget is the Whirling Zap-O-Matic. Are you familiar with this card?
Yeah, that card is excellent.
It's a 3/2 for 2 that has Wind Fury. When that thing doesn't get dealt with, it can do a lot of work.
Yeah, it is an instant threat on the board. It's one of those cards, as soon as it drops, like, you better have something to remove it or else you are in trouble. Especially with Shaman. I mean, there are a lot of them are running Blessing of Might. Or sorry, not Blessing of Might. Rockbiter Weapon,
yep.
The Shaman version. Which suddenly that is a 6/2 with Wind Fury. That's 12 damage if you don't have a taunt up.
Yeah, I mean, it's +2/+2. Oh, no, Rockbiter. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking about the Power Mace, which is the weapon.
Oh, yeah, which
is also in this deck, and it works very well with that card. It makes it a 5/4 with Wind Fury, which is even harder to do. Yeah,
5/4 permanent.
Yes.
That is scary.
So you can
have telling me that's what I'm going to have to look out for today.
I don't know. But it depends if I get it, you know?
Yeah.
It runs a lot of the Meg Warper, all that core. But what it does is it has this incredible potential for burst with cards like Whirling Zap-O-Matic. But also you can buff it with Flame Tongue Totems with the Rockbiter Weapon. And then you also throw in their Doomhammer, which you can also put Rockbiter Weapon on and do a lot of damage quickly. And then you have some spells like Crackle and Lava Burst just to get through taunts and even do more damage. So it's kind of a fast deck. It can have crazy starts that are very hard to deal with, and then it can burst you down out of nowhere.
Okay, so it's sometimes an aggro deck and sometimes like a mid-range deck, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not control. It's fast. Mid-range, maybe. There are some mid-rangey things, like, I guess, Fire Elementals, because you can't leave that out.
It's just too good.
It's a card you would put in every deck if it wasn't just Shaman. And then Dr. Boom, of course. You got to have Dr. Boom. And Lothev and some of these mid-rangey creatures. But you want to have a strong early game and then a burst of just a lot of damage to finish out.
So you mentioned the Whirling Zap-O-Matic. What are some other kind of key cards in the deck that kind of define it?
So the other one that's very important is the Power Mace, because it synergizes with all your mechs.
Just to remind people, that's a 3/2 weapon for 3, and Death Rattle, give a random friendly mech +2/+2.
Right. So it is random, but you can kind of control it in a sense.
Yeah.
So the ideal case is you have a mech already out and you use your final charge and then use the buff right there. But you can do it sometimes when you're playing a mech and giving it the buff. Something like an Oyotron to make it a little bit beefier.
Oh, yeah.
So you can do it that way. It's more vulnerable to silence, and you may not get the benefit immediately. But, hey, if they waste the silence on that, that's fine, too.
Yeah. Seriously, or even like a micro machine, yep, that would be scary on.
Oh, yeah. I don't use that card, but it could get out of control pretty quickly. It had it happen to me on a game where out of the shredder, that's what came out, and he was able to buff it, and it just got out of hand. It was like a 7-4 in two or three turns, so it was crazy.
Oh, my word. Yeah, that is scary stuff.
The other one I would say that kind of you talked about in last show is the Fel Reaver. That was one of the changes that I decided to make because we did talk about this deck in one of our shows, but I made the change of including the Fel Reaver as a 5-mana card. And I know that makes some people queasy because it burns cards, you know? And it feels so painful. But I'm not sure if you read the theory around what that means, like when you're burning cards. Because
I don't know.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, in a typical game, you don't draw your entire deck, right? So you can think about the burnt cards as things you wouldn't even draw anyway, like they were in the bottom of your deck. So if you think about it that way, sure, it's painful to see, oh, I'm never going to see my Fire Elemental. But it's the same thing if you never draw it, right?
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, it really only matters if you hit the end of your deck.
Right, and then that's the thing. If you're facing like an aggro deck and they have a lot of cheap cards, they can mill you pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But you do have a 8/8 on turn 4 or 5. So, you know?
Yeah. And when you're trying to kill him as quickly as you are, I mean, this guy shouldn't stay on the board for very long, because you should either finish out the game or you're going to get stalled so hard you probably weren't going to win anyways.
Right. So, I saw this RDU is one of the pros play it on Mechmage, and he was having success with it. So I said, let's bring it to Shaman too, because why not? And
that's the spirit.
Yeah, it's painful to see sometimes, but it does work.
Very cool. I like. Well, that's very much in line with my personal philosophy in games, which is go big or go home. So I'm excited to see you play that. That's cool. All right. So let's see. Anything else you want to share about the deck before we battle to the death?
No, I think that covers it. I mean, like you said, we have the full guide that's going to be up, so people can go check that out. But
yeah, cool. So that's the deck. As a reminder, I'm going to be playing Dan Andrews' Mech Mage deck. So Mech Mage versus Mech Shaman. Which mech is the strongest? this could be your answer. All right, so let's go do that. We're going to go play a best of 3 series. We're both going to live stream our sides, and then we'll put the videos on GameDiplomat.com in the show notes. So then you'll be able to check out both sides and, you know, check out who wins, see why we're making the choices we do, laugh at my horrible plays if I make mistakes, all sorts of good stuff.
Hey, anything can happen here. You never know.
That's true. All right, so we will be right back. And we are back. And I guess it's official. Frid, congratulations. You did not just win a tournament this week. You won the Happy Hearthstone Deck Challenge. Congratulations. You are the reigning deck champion. You won 2-0.
Thank you, Josh. So I have another notch or feather in my cap, huh?
Yeah, another one. It's probably slightly smaller than beating pro players. But still, it is another feather, and you can never have too many.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the games? How did it go?
So the first one was one of those, you know, classic, strong opening. We're talking about the Whirling Zap-O-Matic.
Yeah, I got him out. Card.
You couldn't respond. You didn't have Frostbolt or something. Yeah. And he just kept hitting you over and over again.
Yeah, that was so painful. That was one of the ones where I didn't draw any removal spells. I had, like, just nothing. And I kept throwing things down on the board because all I had was bodies. So I kept throwing bodies on the board, but you just kept having answers for removing them. And every single turn, 6 damage from that Whirling Zap-O-Matic. 4 turns later, that is enough to finish the game.
Yeah, because I had Crackle and Hex. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just going to use it to remove his stuff rather than for burst because I have a Whirling Zap-O-Matic and he clearly does not have the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one where like, so that's interesting. So you can use your removal spells. Basically, if you feel like you have a good board state, you're using it for board control. Is that true? And then if you feel like kind of you're in a bad board state or maybe losing momentum, use it to punch face?
Yeah, because if you're behind, you want to burst. So you use those spells to just go to the face to try to end the game. But because, I mean, you put out like a Tinkertown Technician as a 4-4 and some Yeti. So I'm like, I need to get rid of this stuff because you don't want to leave mechs to the Mech Mage anyway because of the Goblin Blast Mage.
Yeah, so I have two of those in my hand. Two of them.
I keep cleaning up. I'm like, I'm not going to let this stand because of that. And when you did get him out, there was just too much stuff on the board and he just didn't do anything.
Yeah, man, that was painful. It got one of your guys to one, another guy to one, and then your spider tank it barely scratched. But it's just like, oh, at least kill one of them. It's all I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, if he killed the Zap-O-Matic, then maybe you had a chance to try to get back into it. But
yeah, I was praying, but the RNG gods were not listening.
They're not with you this time. So the second game was a bit of a struggle. I didn't feel good at all.
Although, yeah, so
I want to know what you were holding, because it seemed like you had a lot of cards, and were they just big stuff? Or?
So I was holding Spare Parts, Polymorph, and Fireball.
Okay, you did. So I was at 12 for a bunch, and I'm like, if he draws that Fireball, I'm done.
Yeah, so I was holding onto the Fireball, because I threw down the Azure Drake, right? So it was going to be 7 damage, and I was like, okay, I'm getting close. But then you drop down the fire elemental next turn, and yep. I was like, I have to get rid of the Fireball. I can't save it anymore.
Well, yeah. No, and the Dr. Boom, right?
Yeah, I polymorphed the use the polymorph on Dr. Right. Boom. Yeah, I was sitting on both of those, and what I'd done, and I had Frostbolt your first fire elemental the first turn, so I Frostbolt it, hero powered it, so it was at 1.
Yep.
And I didn't have enough mana. Or sorry, no. At that point, Fireball was going to be 1 damage short of killing Dr. Boom. So I had to decide, like, if I did Fireball, it's like, I can only kill Fire Elemental or Dr. Boom with the hero power. And I was like, I got to do Polymorph. I got to. And just like, at that point, all my removal was gone. I had a spare part in my hand. I was praying for something.
I thought the Boom Bot cleaned off one of your guys, too.
Yeah. Man, and so that was one mistake that I caught. Afterwards, I wasn't thinking about how your Cogmaster got 2 more damage because there was still 1 Boombot up.
Yep, yep.
So I used my hero power on whatever you had another 1/1 that was up. And I should have used it on Boombot because that would have saved me 2 damage. I don't think it would have saved the game, but I could have at least died with honor.
Yep, yep. I made mistakes on placing minions. You always place them on the left because the totems come on the right. I forget about that stuff. But I didn't feel good at all. I'm like, I'm going to die any second. What happened was I didn't have any of that crazy early game. You notice I like totemed and did. Like...
Yeah.
But yeah, I did have Fire Elemental for 6 and Dr. Boom for 7. So that kind of set me in a comeback kind of path.
Yeah, because I was so just... For everyone that's listening and hasn't watched the videos yet, I had a really strong start. I started with Cogmaster, and then also in my hand at the start was another Cogmaster and Clockwork Gnome. So I was like, oh man, turn 2, I'm going to have a 2-1 and 2-3-2s. Like, I was feeling good.
Yep.
And I got off to a really good start. You know, he was only using totem, so I was just clearing out his board, punching face. And then, man, right around turn 5, you had this turn where you... you got your Taunt Totem, you played Flame Tongue Totem, and Cog Wrench. Is that the right name of that weapon?
Yeah, the Power Mace.
Power Mace. Thank you. Yeah, and the Power Mace all on one turn. And all of a sudden, from having like an O2 totem or something out there, he had a wall with 4 dudes that were all pumped up and a weapon. And it's just like, oh no. I've fallen behind. In one turn, I suddenly fell behind.
Remember, I had the weapon, but I was frozen, so I couldn't even play it. But I decided anyway, I'm like, I think this is going to turn it around, so I'm just going to play it now to use the mana. But yeah. I couldn't swing with it because I was frozen. That snow chugger kept just keeping me locked.
Yeah, the snow chugger was doing work until he was gone.
You're at like 30 or something. I'm at 12. And
yeah.
There was that turn in the Fire Elemental and Dr. Boom. Or no, though, this was after. I had Lava Burst in hand, and I was pondering on that last turn, I mean, should I hit him in the face with it or not to set up a lethal?
Walk me through your thought process on that, because that was the one thing that surprised me. So he used Lava Burst at the end of his turn, but it wasn't lethal, and I thought for sure you would hold that to, like, surprise me with it. So why did you decide to use it then?
So I was thinking, you know, what could he put in the way? Maybe the Annoyotrons were gone. I don't know. But I was just going to... I didn't want to float any mana. And I had the Doomhammer to follow up.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to figure out is how overloaded I was going to be. And I was going to be overloaded by 3. In case I drew into a Rockbiter or something. I had the... say I drew into a Rockbiter. I only had... I think it was 8 mana. So I couldn't do Doomhammer, Rockbiter, and Lava Burst. So that's why I decided to do the turn before.
Okay.
So I was just counting and calculating what the most efficient way. And then I said, you know, if I give him one more turn, he's going to get that fireball.
Yeah. Ah, oh, man.
But it didn't come.
Didn't come.
We didn't get to see Feld Reaver. He never showed up.
Oh, yeah, my. I'm bummed. Yeah, we'll have to play some more games just for fun, because I also didn't... I have yet... I've played maybe 20 games with this deck. I have yet to play Archmage Antonidas.
Oh.
I have not... I drew him once, but I drew him so late that I couldn't afford to play him.
You spent all that dust.
I know! I spent all that dust, and it's like, I don't really play Mage very often, so I'm not going to get much value out of this, so I at least got to play until I can use this card.
Yeah. So what did you think of this shaman? I mean,
man, that first game was brutal. That's like, so the second game, the comeback was awesome, right? And it's interesting because this deck, at least I haven't actually looked at the full deck list yet, but based on what you played, it's running a lot more, like you kind of said, like mid game, late game almost cards than I would expect a face punch deck to play. And that really caught me off guard because I was feeling good. I was like, hey, these are 2 aggro decks. I'm way ahead.
Yep.
And I was not prepared for that swing.
Because I couldn't play anything because I had a Dr. Boom and a Fire Elemental in my opening hand, I can't get any of this out for a little bit. I'm just going to totem and do some things to see how long I survive. When I saw the Cogmasters, I was like, oh no. This is going to be hitting me for 6 for like, I'll be dead before I can even play a Fire Elemental. So... I mean, I think what's happened with the meta and everything, even Zoo now has like late game. I saw Colento, I think it was. He had like Sylvanas and Dr. Boom and all these kind of late minions. And even Mechmage has 6 and 7 drops that before you never used to see. But
yeah,
there's so many good cards everywhere now, like across the mana spectrum that you can just build. You know, towards the aggressive side, but you still have late game in case something like what happened to me, that I had no start, and that mid game just got me through. It was close. I mean, it didn't look so good. Close.
Yeah, but man, you were absolutely right on that Whirling Zap-O-Matic, right? And that was just the Zap-O-Matic by himself. You weren't actually able to buff him at all that turn.
No.
Or that match.
No.
Because I was just dreading the Flame Tongue Totem drop or the Rockbiter weapon
to get hit by like 8, you know, a bunch of damage.
Yeah, but if I don't have taunt or removal, that's essentially a 6-2 on turn 2 that you're punching me with every turn. Like that, that by itself is painful.
Yep, you can make it a lot more. But
yeah. I was pretty impressed also by kind of the removal that you were running. Because you think of Mage, you know, obviously has awesome removal with like Frostbolt and Fireball. and in even Polymorph. But I mean, between Lava Burst, are you running Lightning Bolt at all?
No Lightning Bolt.
Okay.
I guess Lava that's Burst one of the Hex. Yeah, one of the things I didn't mention is the deck tries to avoid overload as much as possible. That's why you don't see Lightning Bolt, Feral Spirits, Lightning Storm, stuff like that. It does have the Crackles. And the Lava Burst is one of the optional cards. There's a sideboard for that if you don't like it. Because you don't want to overload, really. You want to be able to get the stuff out on the turn it's supposed to.
Yeah, but, I mean, Crackle is so good. You had one turn where I think it hit me for 5 or 6. And I was just like, anything lower than 5. Anything lower than 5, please. No, 5.
Yeah, I got the 2 Crackles to hit. Yeah. For what I needed them to, so that was luck. Without spell power, just straight up. And Hex also is incredible. I mean, it's almost better than Polymorph. Because
it's an 0-1 and it's a 1 mana cheaper.
Yep.
I mean, sure, it's taunt, but at that point you had so many things on the board, you could easily deal 1 damage to it without losing too much.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so overall, I guess, especially compared to Mech Mage, which is what I've been playing a lot lately, preparing for this this week, I was really surprised by the burst damage. Because Mech Mage doesn't have that same level of, oh, look what I just dropped this turn, now you're in huge trouble. It's more, look what I dropped last turn, if you don't kill it, I'm going to punch you in the face really hard.
Yep.
So I was really impressed by how much damage it did. I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah, if you... In the article, I sent you some of the kind of the epic screenshots. There's one with a warrior where I think I have a 3-2 on the board and nothing, you know, played. And he's at 19 and I burst him down with the Doom Hammer and the Rock Biters from the hand. Just nobody sees that stuff coming. It's like you hit him for 16 and then the 3 to finish him off. It's just crazy. The burst that comes sometimes.
Yeah, it's really fun too. And like you mentioned, I think before we started battling, part of the reason you built this deck was because Shaman is kind of underplayed. So it's interesting because people know exactly what to expect from a Mech Mage deck. But I imagine when you're playing the Mech Shaman, like, people don't really know to expect that sort of stuff because they aren't really sure all the cards that are in there.
Yeah, I mean, Shaman has different variations. What I'm excited about is the new Blackrock Mountain card that's a 4-drop. I forget the name, but it gains attack. And it's an overload card. But that one in combination with Lava Shock, I think may bring back the... You know, remember the Unbound Elemental that grows every time you play Overload?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of style of mid-range Shaman back. So it's not a mech, but it's a whole other... archetype. So I'm looking forward to that wing whenever it opens, because Shaman is not a class I played a lot of. So
I played Shaman a lot early on, but I haven't either as well, because I never had a ton of success with it. But yeah, I would love to see an kind of overload style deck, and then Lava Shock obviously unlocks your overloaded mana crystals while doing 2 damage for 2.
Yep.
Crazy good card. I'm excited to see that. Cool. All right, so here is the metaphorical crown for
Happy
Hearthstone.
Yeah, what do I get? Is there a prize?
You get to contact Dan Andrews and taunt him for beating him. That's pretty good. I don't have any official prizes. I don't know. What do you want, I guess? What should I do?
This digital virtual crown is fine. I'll just...
Okay.
I'm really happy to be in this podcast. It's one of the ones I've been listening for the longest, because when I started... I listen to a lot of other podcasts, so I always look for podcasts about the subject. So I found you early on because you've been doing this forever. So, I'm pretty excited to make it to the show and actually get to battle it out with you.
Yeah, you're now logged in the immortal halls of Happy Hearthstone Deck Champions. And how about this, Frid? I'll even throw in a plea to the listeners. Go check out Frid's stuff. If you don't have time to watch videos or listen to podcasts, just send him a little tweet message, you know, let him know, hey, congratulations, you're awesome. There you go. Pay your fealty to the Happy Hearthstone King, Frid. Cool.
Very
All
good.
Right. So let's jump into the community stuff, because we got some of that before we wrap up the show. First of all, we got a note in from Jame, who is actually probably going to be on the show in the future as well. I had to share, just because longtime listeners of the show will remember that one of the first things we did and talked about a lot on the show was how much we love killing mages with polymorph sheep, right? If they take your big threat and polymorph it, and then you can somehow find a way to kill them with that sheep, it's like the greatest insult, right?
Yep.
Just the greatest back. So this is the coolest one I've ever seen. James sent in, I'll just read his little note. He says, possibly the greatest thing ever in Hearthstone happened to me today. I killed my opponent with a, wait for it, 2121 sheep. He thought stole a Ysera, which we were talking about earlier. So his opponent had Ysera, we're jealous, from him. 4 turns later, he'd gotten 4 consecutive nightmare cards from it. And then when the mage polymorphed his Ysera, he did 4 times nightmare onto the sheep, and that buffs it to a 21-21, smashed his face in. The mage was at 18 health.
Yep.
And I'll post the screenshot here because you can see what he had on the board, but he only had 5 damage on the board, so the mage was feeling really good because he was at 8 health. And then all of a sudden, boom, a 21-21 sheep. And the coolest thing about that is when I'm sure you know, Frid, but when the numbers get high enough on a minion, you know how it does that extra, like, added oomph to the screen?
Oh, yeah,
it
shakes. The whole thing shakes. The whole thing shakes. All over the place, yep.
Yeah, dust shoots out. Like, he got that with a sheep. So cool.
Oh, man, it's like Ysera's revenge. Oh, yeah? You want to turn me into a sheep? You're forgetting about my dream cards.
Yeah. I'll be the biggest sheep you've ever seen.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I'll put a screenshot in the show notes to that, too, just because it's so fun to see. So thank you, James, for sending that in. I also got a couple notes from people that had left iTunes reviews in other regions, because I'd forgotten to check other regions. So I looked this up, and I found, actually, I missed a lot of reviews in these other regions over the past, 6 months. So I'm going to read through these so fast it boggles your mind, Frid. But jump in if something comes up. But I want to read these on the show since they're way overdue. And then after this, card of the week, you don't want to miss it. All right. Sarcopter G says, my favorite. Can't believe it's taken me so long to write a supportive review for the show. Happy Hearthstone is calm, entertaining, and informative, right at my level. Josh has a laid-back, positive attitude that brings his listeners right into the Happy Hearthstone vibe with him. Ooh, you're in that vibe. Come on, buddy. Are you feeling in the vibe right now, Frid?
I am.
All right, good man. Sarcopter G's, that's his name. It's a series of letters that I don't understand. Finishes off. He's complimented perfectly by Scott, frequent guest, not co-host yet, ? Lance. Props to the other guest hosts too, but Scott is still my favorite. I love what you guys do. Thanks so much.
He's the man. Scott's the man.
Scott is, dude. Especially since you love math and analytics so much. I mean, that is his forte. I feel like you guys could probably sit in a room and talk for like 24 hours just about Hearthstone.
I'm sure, as you can tell from the intro, I can talk.
Awesome. We'll have to try and get you guys on a show together. I think that'd be fun to talk about breaking down something or explaining something.
Sure.
All right, a few more reviews. These from Canada. I will not try and do a Canadian accent because I'm terrible at accents and I will offend everybody. Chris70 said, miss Josh in the last episode, but Scott and Redbeard, you can tell how long ago this is. Oh, dear. Did a great job filling in and should stay on as permanent co-host. Grats on the new kids. Actually, where is Redbeard? Redbeard, if you listen to this, buddy, send me an email. We should get you back on this show. Chris70 requests you. He says, grats on the new kid. Life as you know will never be the same. That is true. It will be better. Keep up the good work. Torrent Freak jumps in between torrenting, all of the things that he is torrenting and freaking about. I am new to Hearthstone scene and find these podcasts very informative. I come from Magic the Gathering, so this transition to this game hasn't been difficult, but I appreciate Josh and his guests taking the time to make an entertaining podcast for the game I love. Keep it coming, and congratulations on the new addition to your family. Whew. Krill from Vancouver says, this podcast will allow you to enjoy your favorite game, Hearthstone, obviously, even more professional, informative, realistically optimistic. Ooh, I like that. That's a good catchphrase. We're realistically optimistic. And just the right amount of quirky.
Yeah, that's realistically optimistic. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Do you have any fun facts to share about Canada before we jump to Australia, Frid?
Me? I don't know much about Canada.
I don't either, except that their soccer team fans are very enthusiastic. My parents went to a game there and thoroughly enjoyed it. So
I hear they're very polite and nice. Yep.
Yeah, they seem to be. I work with a couple Canadians, and they're friendly and nice, so I'm sure all are. That's how racial stereotypes begin. All right, now in Australia, Mick from McKay says, be a happy stoner. We know what you're saying there, Mick. He says, I'm happy to write the first Australian review. He was the very first one. Great show. Anyone looking to improve their game should listen. I started playing the day on the iPad launch and needed help as I felt everyone had better cards and I was making a lot of bad choices. Found the Happy Hearthstone podcast, got a lot of tips, helped me as I tried new heroes and was ready to reach rank 15 in series one, mostly with Druid. Ooh, Druid. I actually thought you were doing a Druid mech deck. I got totally confused. So it's a nice surprise when you did Shaman today too.
Oh, okay.
Mick continues. I'd say the best episode so far is how to pick better cards, which I highly recommend. This is one of the coolest things about the episodes, in particular that Scott has done for the show. This is me talking. The kind of advice and strategic and tactics sort of episodes are timeless, right? Because it's not about, oh, you need to play card X because it's really powerful right now. It's about how to make good choices when you're building decks, when you're playing cards, when you're trying to figure out if you should punch face or trade. Any of those episodes with Scott that have strategy in the title, that sort of stuff, is really good. So I really recommend you go back and listen to those. Scott is just a genius, as everyone constantly says, and he has really good stuff to say. So Mick also says, can I suggest a topic? Yes, this was in May. So sorry, Mick, that I'm just reading your suggestion right now. He wants a show covering popular deck types. What they are and why people use them. What's a handlock? What the heck does a token mean when people say token druid? Things like that. So yeah, I mean, that, I think that's definitely the sort of thing we want to be doing on the potluck episode, which, Frid, have you listened to the last potluck episode?
I did. I definitely
what did you
did.
Think of that format? Do you think that's good? Should we keep doing that?
I think so. I think kind of covering different concepts and definitions and things like that is definitely helpful. And that stuff is timeless too.
Yeah.
I think you're doing what he's suggesting, like, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, attacking each of the deck types. Yeah, yep. I think that's good, too. We've actually gotten some pretty good response. I think we've got, like, 8 write-ins from listeners for the next potluck. So our next potluck is actually full at this point, which is awesome. So we want to keep filling that up. And a couple of them are asking about specific decks, just like this. Ask about, like, Miracle Rogue and stuff, if that's still around and if it can be a thing that we're going to talk about. So I'm really excited. All right. We got 4 more reviews. Hang in there. I know this is way more than usual because we're lucky if we get one review a week. But I just discovered Australia. So here we go. Roar Child says, great cast. Sorry we let you down last week, but glad Mick stepped up to the plate to spread the word. Great guest and very helpful for people waiting to improve in Hearthstone. Woot. Tony says, on my 6th arena attempt, I went 1-3. After listening to Josh and Scott, I went 8-3 in my next attempt. What? I don't know math, but that is a very high percentage improvement. Off the top of your head, do you know the percentage improvement from one win to 8 wins?
Oh, man. Don't ask me to do this kind of math here.
Okay. and Tony continues, were they the reason, he asks? Listen and decide. Also, Josh, I'm half Australian and half Austrian. So count that as a 2-for. All right. So we got Australian, Austria, and Canada on the show this week. Lihas adds in, thank you very much for the informative podcast, Josh. Keep up the good work. Tazdingo. Last one for this week. Color of Three says, absolutely amazing. Listen to this if you want to get better at Hearthstone and you want to have fun doing it. I have been listening since about February of last year. Happy anniversary, listener, Color of Three. And now I'm consistently better in Hearthstone and have more fun when I play it. I think Josh is an excellent host and his many co-hosts keep the show fresh. Once again, as all reviewers do, he specifically calls out Scott. Scott really helped raise my arena win rate. Thank you so much for the many fun bus rides. I only wish they were more constant. Congratulations on your baby and keep up the good work. Good news on this front. Because of this weekend, part of lining up Frid, I responded to every email that had ever been sent to me on this account, basically begging people, hey, you know when you emailed me a year ago? Do you want to come line up for the show? Mm-hmm. So I actually have shows booked through August now. So unless something goes horribly wrong in my life, I have people scheduled for every 2 weeks for the next 4 months. So we should be regular. Hooray.
Very nice.
Phew. All right, Frid. We got the reviews. We're getting back to the fun stuff. Card of the week. You know what you need to do, right?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so
you can't be happy Hearthstone deck champion and not sing.
Yeah, I guess it's part of it. And I don't know how to sing at all.
That's okay. That has not stopped several of our guest hosts in the past, as I'm sure you've noticed.
And I'm drawing a blank because what I did, because I don't know how to sing, is I asked my daughter if she could come up with something that I could sing. But
it's not uncommon for popular singers to have writers, you know, writing their songs for them. There's no shame in that.
I'm trying to remember how it went. All right, here goes nothing. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week.
I love it.
This is what my 7-year-old came up with. I'm probably not doing it justice, but...
Hey, I thought it was pretty good. I like the extra bonus sound effects. Not too many people add in non-words to it, so that was good.
When the voice doesn't have it, you just make sound effects.
I loved it. All right, so the card of the week should be no surprise to anyone that's been playing Blackrock Mountain and the cards that come out of it. You picked it this week, Frid. What is it?
I may botch this, but it's the Emperor Torazan? Is that how it goes?
Your guess is as good as mine. I love it. Torazan. That is the official Happy Hearthstone pronunciation now, because that's as good as I could do.
All right, so this guy is a 6-mana cost, 5/5, and the card text reads, at the end of your turn, reduce the cost of cards in your hand by 1. So when I first saw this, you know, in the preview, I had to read it like a couple of times. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this saying what I think it's saying?
Yeah, it can't possibly mean this.
And then I'm like, it's not a battle cry. This is at the end of your turn. So if he happens to live another one, it happens again. Okay. So immediately, this made it into basically every deck that's combo control. I mean, it's like an auto include. It only does not fit in aggro because it's too slow. But anything else, this is incredible.
Like, yeah, because
I was playing a Freeze Mage with Druid. And by the end of the game, he couldn't remove him for several turns. I had a 0 Savage Roar, a 0 Swipe, and a Ragnaros. All this on the same turn. Like... He conceded because it was, when he saw the 0 cost swipe, it's just unnatural. He's just like, okay, I'm done.
There's something unholy about this.
You're playing like 4 or 5 cards that don't belong in one turn. It's like a super innervate if you have a handful of cards. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's really interesting because there have been a lot of screenshots popping up on Reddit and stuff like that. Just because of the cool combos you could do that, in theory, shouldn't be possible, right? The cards that cost 6 and 5. Or sometimes you can do it with a coin, or even like a card 6 and 6. Normally, you could never combo those. And when you look at them, you're like, man, I wish I could play these together. That turn would be incredible. And this card actually lets you do all those.
It's, you know, like Sylvanas and Belcher in one turn, which is really good. It's like, okay, now I can do this. If you can innervate it out, say on turn 4, it's crazy. Because not only is it a 5/5, but it's going to reduce it's so good.
Yeah, because, I mean, so think worst case scenario, right? Worst case scenario, they have a super easy way to get rid of it next turn. When you play this, imagine if it just said battle cry. Say you have 4 cards in your hand. Like, reduce the cost of all those cards just once. You're saving 4 mana.
Yep.
As a battle cry effect on a 5/5 that costs 6, like that by itself, even if it dies immediately and it doesn't cost them anything, that's a great play.
Yeah. And the thing is, they'll do whatever it takes, like the Zap-O-Matic. You throw all kinds of things at it because you want to get rid of it. Because if it lives another turn, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, if they've got, you know, three twos or whatever on the board, they're going to trade all of them just to get rid of this.
They're going in. It's like, we got to get rid of this thing. It can't live.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, now that we're this far in and Dr. Boom isn't nerfed, do you think it's fair to say this card probably won't get nerfed? What do you think?
So far, I don't think so. Even though it allows for that crazy stuff, it seems okay, but...
Yeah, okay. So if you're playing control at all, you got to try this card. If for nothing else, even if for whatever reason you think it doesn't work in your deck, try it a couple times just because it's fun. Like Frid was saying, getting a zero-cost swipe, that thing, those are just one of those moments that you remember.
Yeah, it's just gross. It's like, why? This is not allowed, but yeah.
Man, so there's got to be something... Some cool tricks, especially with Shaman, right? Where you could get a couple of these on the board.
Well, you could do it with Faceless Manipulator, Reincarnate. Yeah, I've seen that people have two, and the cards reduced twice, so it's by two. And something cool I didn't know. You know that Savage Roar that I said? It'll say zero, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it went below zero. What happens is if they play Lotheb, the negative does stack up, so it wouldn't...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it tracks it. You don't see it because you can't play negative mana, but if they played a Lotheb, it would cost, you know, you take the negative and add it up back up. So I didn't know about that.
So even with Lotheb, it could still only cost one or two or something like that.
Yeah, depending on how long was it out there. So even that, it's crazy.
I was waiting for you to say that you played it and got mana given to you or something. I was no way. No way. So I'm glad you didn't say that because that would just be too much.
The thing is, if this dragon thing becomes something and you have all these heavy-duty dragons... that all of a sudden costs less, that may be when you need to start thinking, well, is there a nerf possibility here? But, you know, reducing a death wing from 10 to 9, I don't know that it's a meta-breaking thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think it's okay.
As a reminder, this comes from Blackrock Mountain. It is a legendary, so you can only have one in your deck. But because it's from Blackrock Mountain, which is the adventure that's out, if you buy the adventure, you're guaranteed to get this card. You don't have to... open packs, you don't have to do anything, you just have to beat one boss, and the initial bosses are pretty easy, so you'll definitely be able to do that. The heroics are really hard, but you get this card just from the normal mode, which no matter your skill level, you should be able to conquer it eventually, even if you need a little help. But that should be no problem to get this card. So I mean, it's a great way to get the card. It's not like on Nyxia or something like that, where it's like, oh, well, you got to open packs or spend a ton of dust. Just pick up the adventure set, guaranteed to have this card to play around in your deck. And even when this card is not popular in the meta, if and when that happens, this is still a card that I want to have in my collection because it's just fun to play with.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen what he says when he comes out?
No, I actually haven't played with him yet.
Oh, so you never heard what he says?
No, what does he say?
It's awesome. So he comes down, like slams into the board, and mm-hmm. he says, "By the power of Ragnaros, I have the power." Do you know what that's from, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? You never watched He-Man growing up?
Oh, so no. So He-Man was my brother's show.
Oh, okay.
I think I was a little too young for He-Man, or else I just didn't get into it for whatever reason.
Oh, man, I'm dating myself here.
So that's why He-Man shouts?
He says by the power of Grayskull, but...
Oh, that makes more sense than by the power of Ragnaros.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's a play on that, so... Oh, you missed the reference. That's surprising, but I guess...
I'm sorry. I'm
dating myself here. Let's just move on.
I based on my conversations, even with people my age, there are more people that watched that than didn't, so I'm in the minority on that one. Man, that's cool, though. Man, because I also play Hearthstone without sound most of the time, because I'm... in a room with my wife and she's talking
true.
With her.
I do so too, but I have heard him and it's awesome.
That is cool. All right, I'll have to turn on sound and play that just so I can hear it. And then I'll go watch a He-Man episode on Hulu or something so I can
Yeah, Prince Adam says that, you know, gets the sword out and then he becomes He-Man. That's what makes it... Anyway, you should go check it out.
All right, I need to get caught up. Also, DC Comics started doing a He-Man comic, so maybe I'll just start reading that.
Yep.
All right. I think that about does it for the show, Frid. We're going to have full show notes along with all the videos of our live streams that we did, the full deck list that Frid put every single card in his deck, including the alternates. If you don't have all the same cards he does, the cards you should sub in for him, along with reasoning with every card that's in there, how he plays the deck. So you can play two and wreck people with 21 damage in one turn. Just go to GameDiplomat.com, click on Hearthstone at the top. It'll be there. As always, though, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You can review us on iTunes. If you put a 5-star review, we'll read it on the show, just like these. We won't read 20 every week, but if you write a review, we will read it on the show. You can also contact us on Google+. Just search for Happy Hearthstone. There's a great community of a couple thousand people in there talking about Hearthstone every single day. So go check that out. At Twitter, you can contact me at jaugustine. You can also email me directly, ajosh@outlook.com, or just leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Frid, where can people find you?
So in at Twitter, probably the best way, and I'm at Frid Gaming, just like gaming. So FRID Gaming. I do have a Google+. It's Frid Gaming 1. I guess there was another one. You can email me at fridgaming1@gmail.com. And like we mentioned, the website for the show is hearthcoach.net. So you can go check out some of the decks we've been playing over there. Now this is an audio format, so you can listen to the explanations.
Very cool. I assume you're on iTunes as well?
Yeah, we're on iTunes under Hearth Coach. So you can find
awesome. Very cool. What about Twitch?
Yeah, I have Frid Gaming on Twitch. Frid Gaming on Facebook. I secured it on everywhere I could when I decided. Nice.
If we friend you on Facebook, is he going to tell us about like your birthdays? Are we going to get invited to family events? All that.
Yeah, I have a whole separate page dedicated to this.
Okay.
It may have my birthday.
I thought I could get a
birthday
invite.
It may have a birthday in there though, if you want to send some presents or something. Anyway.
Well, all right. Now you're demanding birthday presents. First, you wanted something for winning on the show. Presents. I don't know about this, Frid.
That's what the king does, isn't it?
That's true. I guess so. But I was actually just reading. I'm listening to a podcast called Revolutions, which I highly recommend. Historical podcast about revolutions in human history. And this week I'm listening to the American Revolution, Frid. So if you're going to be pulling all this sort of shenanigans as the king, I'm going to have to bust out my American heritage
and do a
little revolution on you.
That's not good, because it doesn't turn out well for the king.
Yeah, it does not. And on a related note, if there are any French listeners that wants to join a treaty to help me overthrow this king, you let me know. It's worked out historically. I'm willing to try it again. All right, Frid. So we're going to have links to all this stuff so you can find Frid on the show notes again. GameDiplomat.com. Go check that out. Frid. Thanks for being on the show with us.
No, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, it was really fun. I know you're on East Coast too, so this is super late for you. So thank you for staying up to talk with us. Is there anything else you want to share before we close it out?
No, I mean, thanks again for having me. I'm glad you're still doing this, even having the kid and everything and just sticking to it. I think you do an excellent job, and I'm glad that you're involving the community. I think that's really important. So keep it up, man.
Thanks. I'll try. It's a lot easier with awesome people like you coming in and sharing the workload with me every week. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations again on your huge win in the tournament this weekend. That's so cool. Best of luck in your next tournaments. Definitely let us know when you're going to be in it. I'll put it in the show notes and stuff so people can check it out. That'd be awesome.
I will do that. Absolutely.
Awesome. And to everyone else, thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.